Good morning, and welcome to the Lioness Lounge. I am your host, Takresha Blunt. I am also the owner of Blissful Brew Teas, your online gourmet tea company, as well as Takresha S. Blunt Coaching and Consulting, LLC. So, let's get into this. It has been a minute. I have been in the United Kingdom since July the 25th. I entered for work, and I didn't come home until November the 15th, so I wasn't making any podcasts, I think I made a couple while I was over there, but nothing major because it's a 5-hour ahead of us time difference. Like, for me, from coming from Florida to there, it was literally 5 hours of time difference. So they are ahead by 5 hours, and that was like a big change for me. That was different. It was something that I had never experienced. So I really got to experience and enjoy the culture over there. So I'll start off by giving you a little bit of information on the culture of the United Kingdom. So I left Florida on July the 24th. It's an overnight flight, 10 hours, nonstop on Virgin Atlantic. When I tell you, the most comfortable flight I have ever been in. Because we leave at nighttime, I was able to go to sleep. I watched something on one of the stations on the TV, which they have thousands of stations, movies that you could watch. So I watched one of those, and then after I watched that, I went ahead and I got comfortable and I went to sleep, and that was some good sleep. The seat was amazing. The whole flight was nice. Flight attendants were amazing. Only thing is, they do give you a little bit of water when you ask for water. So if you're in the airport, go ahead and get you a big bottle or two to take that flight, because they only give out a little bit. But coming back, those flight attendants, you know, I told them that I had medication with me. They got me a bucket of ice to put my medicine in for the 10-hour flight back. So it was really amazing. Once I arrived there, it was real smooth to get through. I think because I got there early, customs wasn't necessarily open, so I didn't have to go through anything, but I didn't have anything that they would have flagged me for other than my special medicine that I needed for my diabetes, and as well as my weight loss medication, my lipo shots. But I had all my documents, paperwork, and everything from the doctor showing that I'm prescribed this so I could enter. So I entered the country with 4 months worth of medication, really 4.5 months worth of medication, just in case. Being over there is a lot different. The culture difference is like, wow. The people over there are very relaxed. They're very friendly. I only met maybe one not so friendly person, but then he turned out to be friendly. He just wasn't in a talkative mood. And then once I sat down on the train ride to London, he was really nice, very helpful. So the people over there are very, very approachable, very nice, very laid back. It's not as stressed as it is in the States. I was under some crunching times where, you know, it was like, okay, we got to have this like now. But they understood and they worked with me, and it was just pleasant. So if you ever get an opportunity, I would say go and visit. We were in a town called Scunthorpe, which is like 3.5 hours north of London and 3.5 hours south of Newcastle. So I did get to go to see a castle, which I went to Lincoln Castle. That was interesting to see. That is where the Magna Carta is, one of them. There are only 3 or 4 copies, and I got to see one. You're not allowed to take pictures of the actual Magna Carta, but you could take pictures of everything leading up to going in the room to actually see the Magna Carta and the tree. History and everything. So if you don't know, the Magna Carta is basically what helped build the Constitution for a lot of countries. So our Constitution for the United States does contain parts in guidelines from the Magna Carta. Jay-Z raps about it. If you do your research, you'll find out that the way our Constitution was built was from the United Kingdom's Magna Carta. So that's something to learn about or what have you. They did have replicas of it. I did bring back a couple replicas, one for me and one for my sister, who asked for a copy also. But and then I got a copy of the Tree of Life, and I got a copy of the King and Queen tree, which is the family tree. So that was interesting to get also. And then I picked up a couple of things for my grandbaby. So they got some gifts also from the United Kingdom. Far as food wise, oh my God. When I tell you, when I first got there, it was bland. I was like, oh, this don't taste too good. But after about a week of being there and eating, when I say it is the best food that you could ever get, there's really no chemicals, no preservatives, no chemicals. Everything is fresh. The shelf life is very small on all of the food there. So, for instance, if I brought my fruits and vegetables, it had about a week and a half lifespan to see. And I forgot I had brought strawberries. And I looked in my refrigerator in my room, and the strawberries had went bad after like the second day of the expiration, which in the States, you know, our stuff is so much chemicals in it. You might have strawberries for a couple of weeks and then they start to go bad. But the veggies are the same. Everything is in smaller packages, which is great because you're not wasting as much food. Price wise, a lot cheaper than our stuff. So I could get a bag of broccoli, which would give me, because I don't eat a lot, but it would give me 2 servings in this bag of broccoli. So I could get this bag of broccoli, which probably would be 1 serving for a normal person. And that would cost me 89 pounds, so about $1.10. That is unheard of in the States. So everything over there is so much better. When I say the meats are fresh, there was a butcher in town up from the job site that was like amazing. When you walk in, I took pictures, I posted them on Facebook. It was so fresh that when you walk in, you smell no nothing. Like you don't smell, it didn't smell. And they cook food fresh there. So sometimes the guys would say, hey, T, can you bring me back a burger? And I would get them a burger. Well, he grinds the meat fresh right then when you order it, and they cook it fresh. So that was nice. We would get these steak sandwiches that were cut fresh from aged, dry-aged steak. I would buy meat so that I could cook at my room or at the job site. We did have a full kitchen at the job site. Everything was just amazing. I tried lamb again while I was over there. I am not a lamb person, but it really looked really, really good. And I brought some lamb shanks, lamb steaks, and lamb ribs. I thought the ribs were beautiful. When they were cooking, they smelled amazing. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be able to eat lamb. I just don't like the taste of it. I don't know what it is. It had a good flavor. But just that taste, that I don't know if it's a gamey taste or what it is, but it's just not for me. But the meats and stuff was so fresh. The chicken is not yellow. It is white because it is fresh. The chickens don't look like, I did see a couple of live animals and stuff over there, and they don't look like our live stock, where it's like they're all fat. And, you know, when you order food, when you go to the grocery store and you buy meats, it's got all that fat on it. When I say these were the most non-fat products I've ever seen, chicken thighs had absolutely no fat on them when you're cleaning them and everything. It was just amazing to see the difference in the foods and everything. I did eat McDonald's because I wanted to try it over there. It's totally different from over here. It tastes so much better. It's fresh. It's not packed with chemicals and stuff. I did try Burger King. Better than anything. Better than being over here. I did try Taco Bell and KFC because they were right there. And again, very good. Pizza Hut was different. I wasn't a fan of it. I don't know, the tomatoes was a little too fresh. I'm not a tomato person, so that flavor just wasn't there. But they did have wings that were amazing. So the food and everything is different over there. KFC sells salad, they sell rice, they sell beans. What I noticed that they didn't have that we have, I'm trying to think, what was it? They don't have biscuits. So the United Kingdom, you're not really going to ask for a biscuit. You're going to ask for a crumpet. That's as close as you're going to get to a biscuit or a scone. One of the two will get you as close as possible to a biscuit. You can't go to McDonald's and say you want a sausage biscuit or Burger King and get a biscuit. They do buns. And so that's mainly everything over there is buns. I did get to go to a tea shop, which was beautiful. Very antique-y and very European. It was very nice. The tea was fresh. Difference is I noticed that that tea shop wasn't really authentic because they were using bag tea. So, yeah, that was a shock, but it tastes a lot different. So, maybe because there's no chemicals in those bags or what have you. Grocery shopping wise, the foods are different. So I'll give you an example. Mayo, like we buy mayonnaise, they do have Hellman mayonnaise, but I did not see any Miracle Whip over there. But their mayo is different. So they had a salt and vinegar mayo, a sour cream, and what they call it, onion and cream. That's their version of sour cream. So onion and cream flavor mayo. So they have a lot of different mayo flavors and stuff. So that was different. The salt and vinegar mayo was actually not bad. It really had a good flavor and everything. Chips over there are called crisps. So Lay's is Wiley's or Wilder, something with a W. Is the name brand of their chips over there. So overall, the experience that I got, the experience over there, as far as culture-wise, people-wise, clothing, everything, is just so much better than the United States. I know a lot of people overseas say, hey, I need to come to the United States because it's the land of the free or what have you. I feel like I can live in the United Kingdom because it was so peaceful. And I feel amazing coming back. And like, I don't want to be stressed. Like, I just don't. And I believe if I enter something that may seem like a stressful situation, I would just remember how peaceful it was over there to get me back into a relaxed state of mind. So that's my little spiel somewhat. I'll give more information on the United Kingdom. I did get to go to London. London was nice. It was different. The people were, oh my gosh, so friendly. The cab, let me tell you, I went to the United Grand Lodge of England. If you are in the Masonic organization, you know that's one of the oldest Grand Lodges in the world. But I went there because I really wanted to see the building, and I went and I did a tour. I spent about 5.5 hours there, just mesmerized with the sculpture of the building. If you know, I love building and architect and stuff like that. That is something that I have always been attracted to. I have a background in it. But I do love buildings, different unique buildings, and to see the craftsmanship of that building was amazing. So I did some shopping. I grabbed some stuff for some Masonic brothers and stuff while I was over there. And when I came back to come downstairs to leave out, they got me a cab because it was raining. The cabs, oh my God. So the cabs are bent Rolls Royce. So most of the cabs are either Rolls Royce or Mercedes. It's odd because I was, or Bentley or whatever. I was like, wow, you wouldn't see this in the United States. And if you did, you're going to pay a really healthy penny. Well, the cab driver that picked me up from the Grand Lodge, he said, well, what do you got planned? How long are you going to be here? We were just having a chit-chat conversation. And I explained to him I'm only there, you know, for the that day, and I was leaving out that morning. And I wanted to go see Big Ben. So I said, once you drop me off, I'll get another cab and I'll go. He says, no, I'll wait for you. So, in the United States, most cab drivers, they keep the meter going. So when I got ready to get out, he turned the meter off. I said, do I pay now? He says, no, I turned it off while you go drop your stuff. I have never seen such hospitality and such friendliness. So I ran in, I put all my stuff up, I dropped it off in the room or whatever, used the restroom, came back out. And he was still there, which was shocking. And once I got in, he turned the meter back on, which was like, wow, they don't do this in the United States. So I got to the Big Ben area, and it was like heavily, the traffic down there was major. The United Kingdom Navy had something going on, but that's like a real touristy area, so it's by the Westminster Abbey and all of that, so it's a lot of tourist traffic down there. Needless to say, I'm thinking that he's putting me out right here, and he turns the meter off again. And I said, oh, is this where I get out? He says, no, we still got a ways, but I'm not gonna make you pay while we sit in traffic, and I gotta go this way anyways. I have never gotten that type of service in no cab, rental car, nothing. So, of course, I tipped him very well. It was just the friendliness and him explaining stuff to me and everything. So I went, I saw Big Ben, the clock area. When I tell you, it is breathtaking. Like, it is so breathtaking and beautiful. That whole building, that cathedral is like, wow. Just, and I'm sure at nighttime, it is lit up and beautiful because you can see the gold and everything around it. It is just such a breathtaking scene. And then I walked over to the park and I saw the Winston Churchill monuments and stuff like that. So I got to see all of that. And then I walked over to the Westminster Abbey. So let's talk about all this walking that I did, because I walked and I walked and I walked and I walked. And when I say I have never walked as much, losing all the weight that I have lost in this year, well, it was less than a year period of time, it has given me a new life. I felt so great walking. I wasn't out of breath. My shoes weren't the most comfortable shoes, but I didn't stop. Like, I kept going. So I walked over and walked down and went and saw the Westminster Abbey. A couple of people took pictures of me there. I did not. So I was taking pictures while I was there in the mirror in the hotel room, but in my vision in the mirror, I still saw that I was thicker. When they took pictures of me down there, I was like, wow, I am small. I didn't realize that I had lost so much weight. So the scale was saying one thing, but the inches have like vanished. Like, I am so much smaller. But I enjoyed the walk. I left out of the Abbey. I could have jumped in a cab, but I walked down. I wanted to go to the British Museum. The only thing stopped me from from seeing the British Museum is the Palestinians are protesting. And as I was walking towards the museum, one of the cab drivers stopped and he says, ma'am, don't go that way because they're protesting down there. If you stand right here, one of my cab colleagues is coming if you want to get a cab, and they'll take you wherever you want to go. But they're protesting at the museum. So I didn't get to go to see the museum. I really wanted to see it because there was some history in there that I wanted to see and get from in there. But next visit, I will hopefully be able to go in there. I did go get some shopping done. There was only one place that I really wanted to go. I have Louis Vuittons, I have Gucci's, I have different name brand products, but I really wanted Kurt Geiger, and that was the store that I really wanted to visit. So I did go to the Kurt Geiger store. I grabbed me and my best friend something, and then I just headed back to the hotel, took a shower, relaxed, and got ready for my journey back on the train to Scunthorpe. When I tell you, if you get a chance, please go and visit the United Kingdom. Try to take like a week over there. It is beautiful. Don't just go to like London. Go to Newcastle. Go to Lincoln. These are historical places, and it's not gonna be like London. So you need to come above London and go to some of the others, Bristol or something like that, and see the actual culture. So that is my mini version of my experience in the United Kingdom. I'm probably going to go live on Facebook one day and like really go into details and answer questions. And I may do Facebook and TikTok, so we'll see. But yeah, I'm probably going to go live and do that. Far as me and where I am now. So I never talked about it because I had to figure out what I was going to do. But I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes November the 16th of 2022. A lot of people say, oh, that's because you were fat or what have you. But I did not get sick until after having COVID and to after being vaccinated in January of 22. I got vaccinated and then maybe a month or two later, I started having a lot of symptoms and issues and everything. I'm not blaming it on the vaccination, but it's very ironic that after me being vaccinated, I took sick. After going to numerous doctors repeatedly every couple of weeks, I'm at an urgent care or I'm at a doctor's visit or whatever, explaining to them my symptoms and stuff. And nobody could really determine what was wrong with me. I was itching like crazy. I was breaking out. It was just really, really bad. And then in November on the 5th, no, sometime in November of last year, I was in Arizona working and it just got so bad. I decided to go with United Health Telehealth. And I went to the doctors and he's listening to me and he's looking at me and I'm telling him, I'm like, I don't get any sleep. Look at my eyes. They just look so, I look rough. And he was like, I'm noticing. And he was like, and you keep scratching. Are you okay? I said, no, like my face was itching and everything. So he said, is there, oh, he said, is there a, lab court in your area? And I said, yes, I'm pretty sure. So he said, give me the zip code where you're at. So I gave it to him. He found the lab court. He said, okay, I'm going to send over for you to have some lab work done. So I went on the 15th. So that had to be like the 12th or the 13th that I had that doctor's visit. So on the 15th, I came, I told him I'd be late to work. I was going to run by and take care of something in the morning. So I went to lab court. I got my lab work done. That night, I'm laying in bed and I wake up because I could not sleep. Every 10, 15 minutes, I'm up, if that long, to the restroom. And I get my lab results. It's showing that my lab results are back and I'm reading them. But I'm on my other phone and I'm Googling like, what is this? And why is this this way? And why does it say hi? And why does it say that? And my blood glucose, I kept saying 456, but I looked at my results. It was 479. And my doctor, when he talked to me, because he made me call in and get a visit, but I had already scheduled my visit by the time the nurse called me the next morning. So when I got back, he said, so you scheduled your visit before my nurse could reach out to you. I was like, yeah, because I was Googling stuff. And he was laughing at me. And he said, you're diabetic. You have type 2 diabetes. Your numbers, I'm surprised that you're only having these mild symptoms and nothing more stronger, and you're not in the hospital, because 479 is getting you close to being in a diabetic coma. And I was like, I'm just speechless. And he was like, do you have a family history of it? And I said, yes, I do. My mother is diabetic and my father was diabetic before he passed away. And I said, but both reversed theirs. He said, well, that's good to know. And he says, well, give me some history of what you, you know, what's been going on or whatever, because this is a new doctor. So I'm talking to him and I'm telling him everything. And I said, I had COVID in 21 for 21 days. And then after having COVID, I took the vaccine in January of 22. And he said, yeah, because I'm noticing your numbers, because I guess with my blood, my diabetes had just been like developing around March, April. And that's when I started getting sick of 22. So it's ironic, but I do think that the vaccine had some to do with it. Needless to say, he decided to put me on medication. He gave me my cholesterol and everything was good. No high blood pressure, anything. My blood pressure is as of a teenager. Every time I go get it done, they're like, wow, you got amazing blood pressure. So he gives me, I'm like, well, why am I taking cholesterol medication and high blood pressure medication? He said, because the one medicine I'm going to put you on is going to lower your A1C, but I don't want it to trigger any issues in you. It is called Mounjaro. Have you heard of it? At that time, I had not heard of Mounjaro, Ozempic, or any of this. So I'm like, no, I don't know what it is. So he explained to me, it's almost as if you're having weight loss surgery, but in a weekly pill, weekly injection form. You're going to lose about 80 pounds. He just said 80. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I was like, but can I do this diet or whatever? I was like, I want to do high protein, low carb, lower carbs, and little sugar. Because I know you can't go completely no sugar because some things do have hidden sugar in it or it turns into sugar. He says, yeah, that I was going to suggest that you do a high protein diet because of the amount of weight you're going to lose. It will help prevent the sagging skin and loss of muscle. So I was all for it. I jumped in. I, you know, got started. I went to drop my medicine off. He put me on metformin, and he put me on metformin twice a day and two other medications, and then the Mounjaro. Well, the Mounjaro had to be ordered, and I turned that in, but she didn't give me a price. So I was like, he said, there's a savings card online. Get the savings card. Use the savings card. So I got the savings card online, and I turned it in with my prescription. So the next day when they told me it was ready, they was like $500 and some. I said, why so much? You know, I'm like, wow, why is this medicine so high? I have insurance. Well, needless to say, at the time, my insurance would not cover it. So it was basically going to be me paying out of pocket. I don't have a problem paying it. I just didn't want to pay it. You know, like, you like, damn, I got to pay this much for medication. I don't want this. Let me hurry up and get rid of this diabetes because this isn't what I want. And I called one of my friend girls and I told her. And she says, no, friend, I have a savings card that'll get it for you for $25. Tell them to take that coupon off and use this savings card. So I did, and the lady did it. She says, oh, I'm glad you found this because these are no longer around, but it's still honorable, and we'll put it on there. So the medicine came to $25. My doctor had already told me that I may get some sickness, and he told me what type, diarrhea, constipation, and maybe vomiting. So I didn't want to get sick like that while I was out of town. Plus, I was getting ready to fly home in the next couple of days. So what I did was I waited. I flew home in like a week or two. I waited and I took it on Black Friday of last year. So Black Friday last year, I took my first shot of Mounjaro 2.5. At the time, remember I told you my A1C was 479 with a blood. My glucose was 479, but my A1C was 15, 16, something like that. So that was extremely high. That was over the radar, like off the charts. Exactly 1 month later, my doctor ordered me more lab work. So December, I go, I get more lab work done, and my A1C, drum roll, was 156, and my glucose was 6.6 or 6.9 or something like that. So I'm like, wow, in a month time, he was like, you're doing great. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And I kept going, and I stayed on 2.5. And then once I got my glucose and stuff, I kept going. I changed my lifestyle. I eat healthy. I eat clean. I still eat certain things, but I'm not into a lot of the stuff that I used to eat. So, for instance, I eat a lot of veggies. I've always eaten veggies, never really ate them raw, but now I eat a lot of raw veggies. I eat a lot of chicken, and I eat a lot of turkey. I've always ate that, but I don't eat a lot of beef, and I never really, after I had my gallbladder removed in 05, I really didn't eat a lot of beef because it's too heavy and it's hard to digest. So if I eat beef, I kind of don't eat it a lot, just here and there. I eat cottage cheese now, which is weird, but thanks to Tiffany McGee, I got onto the Tiffany trend, and I have loved it ever since. So the cottage cheese, the mustard. So now I am at a year of being on Mounjaro. My doctor, he's retiring, so I have a new physician. And she ordered more lab work, and I went and I did my year lab work. And even she instantly, when she got my results, she sent me a message real fast, and I called her, and she was like, "You are 4.9. You're not even detecting pre-diabetic." I am so proud of you. And Dr. Adams is proud of you too. I sent him your information, and he's probably gonna call you. And lo and behold, as we hung up, my phone rang, and it's Dr. Adams. He was like, "Takresha." I was like, "Yes." He was like, "You are my poster child. You are my poster walking billboard of how things can change." He was like, "What's your weight now?" And I was like, "Dr. Adams, I'm 233. He was like, "That's 182 pounds in under a year." I was like, "Yes, it is." He was like, "I'm speechless." He was like, "Because it's not just the Mounjaro, because I left you on doses to see if you would change some of your habits." He was like, "And I know those doses probably wasn't pushing rapid weight loss, but we only wanted you to lose 80. He was like, "You pretty much almost doubled that." He was like, "You went from," he was like, "You over doubled it, because you went from my 80 and you've already lost 182 pounds. so I was like, "Yes." And he was like, "Are you still eating the same far as the diet you told me you wanted to do?" And I told him, "Yes, I am. I just added a little bit more carbs." And he told me that that was fine, because I met with a nutritionist, and she wanted me to up my carb intake for the simple fact I was losing so much weight. So when people tell you don't eat carbs, don't eat carbs. Some people's body require carbs, and my body was one of them that I require some carbs, and I'm perfectly fine. I feel amazing. I'm not exhausted. Granted, I do have jet lag a little bit still from adjusting back to the 5 hours behind the United Kingdom. And I was exhausted over there because I had to adjust. And then once you get fully adjusted, it's time to come back or what have you. Outside of that, I am in the best state of life at 50. I feel amazing. I feel just phenomenal. If you have people saying, "Oh, they're losing weight because they're on Ozempic or they're on those GLP-1 medications," stop letting people block your blessings. Stop letting people block your blessings. Do what you have to do to get you right. Am I an expert on Mounjaro? I'm no expert, but I know a whole hell of a lot on this medication. I took time in this year, and I researched, I asked questions, I contacted Eli Lilly, I figured out ways to make things better, easier, or whatever. Some of the side effects are like, they make you rethink life. So recently, my doctor moved me up to 12.5. I was like, "I think I'm ready to move up from 10. I took the first shot of 12.5 when I returned from the UK. I got sick. So I was like, "All right, I'm used to this, whatever." I took the last one week before last, and when I thought that I just was like, "I can't do this. I just cannot do this. This is too much." I was sick for 3 straight days. I took it Friday. I was sick Saturday, Sunday, and Monday all day. I threw up all day. Like, stomach was hurting. Chest was hurting, vomiting, just nauseated the whole 3 days, like drastic. I made an appointment. I got in to see my doctor on Wednesday. I said, Doc, I cannot do this 12.5. She just kind of chuckled. She said, it's too strong. I said, yes. She said, no problem. She said, you want to go back to 10? I said, well, I really don't want to lose any more weight. I just want to maintain. So can I go down a little bit more? She said, sure. I put you on 7.5 again. Is that okay? I said, yeah. And if I'm still losing too much, I may ask you to move me to 5. And she said, no problem. So I took my first 7.5 Saturday. Because I was off yesterday, and I was like, if I get sick, at least I have a day to try to get myself together. Only thing in yesterday I had a problem was I was exhausted a little bit, and that's a given with this medication. I did feel a little tired, but once I got up and started moving around a little bit, I was fine, and I got my booster energy, and I feel great this morning. I'm not sick, and I feel good. The only thing is, if you decide to go on a GLP-1 medication, I'm here to support you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you advice, to guide you or what have you, through my journey of being on it a little bit over a year. I do say figure out a protein shake that you like. This is one thing that I found to help with the nauseation and the diarrhea is prior to me taking my injection, I try to drink a shake. Fairlife is my favorite. Like, I love Fairlife protein shakes. So that's the shake of my choice. You have to find one that works for you. What I suggest is try to find them in individual packs. Most of the convenience stores, gas stations do have them. I know in Florida you can find them at Wawa. I know you can find them at, like, when I was in Iowa earlier this year, they had them at the gas station there. They were $4.50, but of course it's a convenience store, so what do you expect? They're like three something in the regular store, but buying one is better than buying a whole case and not liking it. So I would suggest trying one. Premier is another one. See, can you find one? Try one. Family Dollar, Dollar Generals, they do carry those. They have a Shamrock that is an okay brand also. I like Shamrock. Premier, I like to use to make my puddings and my desserts. So I got creative. I figured out healthier versions to make desserts. So if I want cheesecake, I literally will make a protein cheesecake using all high protein products and a protein shake and sugar-free pudding. So there are ways around this. There is healthier ways to get things done, healthier ways to enjoy life. Don't let anybody knock you. If you do decide that you want to do a GLP-1 or some weight loss medication or even weight loss surgery, this is your life. This is your happiness. Not anyone else. Don't let anybody try to shame you because you're using one of these. What's funny is the myth is everybody's taking these diabetic medications. Mounjaro and Ozempic are two medications that are approved for diabetics, and that is a diabetic medication. In the beginning, doctors were prescribing Mounjaro, and there was a shortage because us diabetic people were having a very hard time getting our medication. Since November the 15th, the FDA approved tirzepatide, which is Mounjaro, which basically is a two agonist impacting GLP-1 type medication. It works on a GLP-1 and it works on a GIP. I'll go into details about that at a later date. But those, Mounjaro was being prescribed off label, which caused a massive shortage. But now it is approved for weight loss. And the good thing is they developed what's called Zepbound. Zepbound is approved for weight loss. It is the same medication, but it is the weight loss name of Mounjaro. Same ingredients, same medication, everything, but this one is the one that is for weight loss only. It's a standalone. So if you just want it for weight loss, you will ask your doctor, are you a candidate for Zepbound? There are rules that you should be following within, and a lot of insurance companies will not cover weight loss medication, but it is worth checking into by calling your insurance and asking them, could you be approved for Zepbound? The other one is, and that's Eli Lilly. Eli Lilly developed Mounjaro, Zepbound, Trulicity. Then you have Novo Nordisk, which has Ozempic and Wegovy. Those are semaglutides. They work on one agonist, which is the GLP-1. GLP-1 and GIP basically is working with the dumping of your stomach, and that's what these medicines do. They slow down the dumping of your stomach. That's why constipation is one of the issues with being on these medications, because your stomach doesn't release the foods like it typically would, if you weren't on anything. Those medications, Ozempic is the one that's approved for diabetes, and then you have Wegovy, which is approved for weight loss. Same medication. The only difference is when the FDA approved Ozempic for weight loss, they decided to separate it and do a standalone one, and they named it Wegovy. So with Wegovy, it does the same thing. You take your shot once a week, and you go from there. The difference with those two other difference is the pens. So the pens that you administer with what Mounjaro and Zepbound is a one injection pen. The pen that you use for Ozempic and Wegovy is a four injection. So you change the needle on it, and then you take your next one the following week. Whereas Mounjaro and Zepbound, I take my injection of Mounjaro and I discard my injection in the needle safe container. Those are the main two differences, and that they are two. One has a double and one has a single agonist targeting component. Those medications are life changing. A lot of people want it, and they are. Let me tell you about this community. I have never seen so many people act like junkies until I started getting in the communities of these GLP-1 communities. When I tell you, those people that are on these medications, especially Mounjaro, they are willing to do anything to get this medicine. And when I say anything, when there was when a lot of them couldn't afford it, once that $25 card went out, they were driving all over their state, going to other states, getting their doctors to do prescriptions of different doses so that they could stack up and have extra. And then they wanted to, I mean, it's like the new era of crack or heroin or something for a lot of these people. And I see why, when people have weight loss surgery, one of the things was they wanted people to have a clinical psychiatric evaluation. This should be one of the requirements for these medications also, because a lot of these people are really not stable mentally. And it's very weird. I have never seen anything like that. And then you have this group of mean girls on TikTok. Oh my gosh. They swear they are the developers of this medication and they know everything and you are wrong and they're the only ones because they got a little following or what have you. It is so bad. It's bad. It's insulting. It is just horrible. There is just a crew of them. It's not a lot. It's let me see. It's less than 10 of them. And they are the most insulting, degrading, combative people I have ever seen. One lady made a video and she said that some people need clinical therapy. There is no lie behind that. Some people do need it. But when I say that little mean girl click grabbed that and they went to town on stitching this lady video, making fun of her. See, one, you're too old to be doing this. You're far too old to be doing this. These ladies are 50 or close to 50. Far, far too old to be conducting themselves of such. But they think that it's funny. So, because they got their little mean girl clique. And they just don't think that their shit is touchable. And I just blocked them. Because when I tell you, it is horrible with them. I have never seen grown women that act like they do. They are horrible. And they are so degrading on this app. Then you have the people that went on with Rosie O'Donnell. She wanted to be the spokesperson for these medications. And she said because she's privileged and rich. At that point, that was it. How do you feel that you're privileged and rich? Good thing is Eli Lilly didn't pick her up as a rep. Thank you, Jesus. Because that was the wrong thing to say. And what's funny is the ones that sat there and like amped her up, they literally didn't see anything wrong with her saying that because she's white, privileged, and rich. Yeah, that was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And there was a black lady that was sitting on there cheering it on. I don't see where that was worth even cheering. There's some words that you have to determine how you're going to use it and what you're going to say. And that was just flat out wrong. What makes you think you're so important because you're white and you feel that you're privileged and you're rich? It's just horrible. Needless to say, she's not the spokesperson for Mounjaro. I don't think they have a per se spokesperson. So it's perfect the way it is. And if they do decide to get a spokesperson, I pray that it's not her, because that right there was not called for. So if you decide that you want to go on a GLP-1 medication, my thing is go for it. Go for it. Do what you have to do. Get your life in order. Get you in order. Do everything that you need to do. And don't let anybody knock you or knock you off of your determination, your drive. If you are not diabetic, type 2 diabetic, I highly suggest that you ask your doctor for Wegovy or Zepbound, those two. Zepbound and Wegovy both have a savings card. If your doctor will not cover you being on a weight loss medication, not your doctor, but your insurance. So just say your employee does not cover weight loss medicine. I would suggest that you go to figure out a way. There are compound age companies that do compound of it. I'm not going to recommend compound, but if that is the route that you go, just do your due diligence and your research and make sure that place is a legitimate compound agency and not something that's giving you something that says not to be used on humans. There are a lot of companies that are doing that. Don't risk your safety. Don't risk your life trying to lose weight, taking anything because it's cheaper. Invest in you. There's one lady in a group that I'm in. I'm in a black, all black group for people that are on GLP-1 medication. And she was complaining because it went up from $25 for her and she now has to pay $60. I said, and you're complaining? Ma'am, the medicine is over $1,000 on its own. I know Mounjaro is like $1,300 in Orlando. When I was in Missouri, it was $1,700. So if I had to pay that out of pocket without a savings card or without any discount, I would gladly pay $60. She was like, yeah, but that's a lot. I said, divide it into four because that's a month's supply of Ozempic. So that's $15 a week. I'm pretty sure each one of you can find $15 a week in something that you don't need, like fast food or something like that. If you took your lunch twice a week, there's your money for your medication. Or even if you took it once a week, you took your lunch and you decided, hey, I'm going to just eat my own food for this week. And then there go your money. There are tons of work from home jobs. See, we make excuses for everything, but we waste and we don't mind splurging on certain things. But when it comes to us and our health, we need to do the same thing. When I had that original bill that said it was going to be $500, it was like $579 was what it was going to cost me. I was willing to pay it. It didn't matter. I didn't want to. Even my boys was like, and my daughters, they was like, mommy, we'll give you some money on it. I don't need y'all to give me any money on it, but thank you anyways. I just didn't want to pay five something because I'm like, damn, now I got to cut. You know, I'm going to have to cut into my money and spend $600 almost a month for some medication. But I was willing to pay whatever I had to pay to make my health better. I'm thankful for my friend Margarita because she helped me by giving me the savings card. But lo and behold, the savings card expired in June, and I had to pay because my insurance decided to now cover Mounjaro. So I paid $400 and some because, was it four something? Yeah, I paid four something for it. But I'm a backup. I was going to go on Ozempic when the Mounjaro was on the back order. And I went ahead and I ordered it. And while I was in Missouri, I put an order in with CVS for Ozempic. And the lady at the CVS was so rude. She said, well, this is going to cost you X amount of dollars for one. It's $100 and some. I said, okay, no problem. Then she said, I said, well, can I get 2 months? No, she said, well, do you want me to get it? And I said, yes, I have to have it for my diabetes. So, yes, please. So she says, well, I don't want to just have it sitting here if you're not going to be able to pay for it. I said, lady, what? So I said, does my insurance allow me to do 3 months at a time? So she said, well, I will have to check. I said, well, can you please check? So she comes back and she says, yes, you could do 3 months, but this will be the price if you do 3 months. It was like $449. So I said, please order me 3 months supply work. So she got quiet. So I don't know if she thought I wasn't going to get it. But the next day they called and they said, your medication is ready. I got the text message from CVS. So I said I'll leave work a few minutes early so that I could go up there before their pharmacy closed. But this time I decided I was not going to go through the drive-thru. I wanted to physically go inside. I called to make sure she was there. So I said, okay, I'll be up there as soon as I leave the job to pick up my medicine. So when I walked in, I guess they were expecting me to come through drive-thru or whatever, but I went to the ATM and I took out cash. And I said, I'm going to put this cash down, but I'm only going to give her a portion of it in cash, and then I'll use my black card for the rest of it. So she gets there and she has to ring me up. This lady could not look me in my face at all. I said, I come to pick up my medication. I give her my date of birth. And she looked at me real quick. And then she just kind of like wouldn't face me. But I'm going to make you look at me. So I hand her cash, which makes her have to look at me. And she says, well, it's $4.49. I said, I know. I want you to use that in cash. And then I'm going to put the rest on this card. And I held up my black card. And she just kind of looked like dumbfounded. And she avoided eye contact, but I'm going to make you look at me. So I asked questions. I said, I've never taken Ozempic. Can you please explain to me how to administer this and how to work this needle? Because I'm hearing about a dial or what have you. She says, oh, well, I have to get the pharmacist to explain that to you because I'm just the pharmacy tech. So I said, before you go get the pharmacist, I said, but when you get him, I would like to speak to both of you. So I said to her, I said, I understand the area of Missouri that I'm in, but I also understand that the fact that you assumed that I could not afford this medication is horrible. That is not the proper way to have customer service, and the way you handled me was very unprofessional. I did not appreciate it. I'm not struggling that I can't. I have diabetes, so my health comes before anything. So the pharmacist, he actually apologized and he said, I explained to her that that was kind of unprofessional what she did. And, you know, she apologized or whatever. And she was like, well, we have a lot of people that will order it and then it ends up sitting here and we have to discard it and we take a loss. I said, but that's not the way that you approach every customer. You just ask, would you like me to order this? Because it'll be in a couple of days. And she was like, you're right. I apologize. So, again, the United States people are very rude and unprofessional at times to others. And I'm not saying other countries don't have rude people, but these people can be very insulting. But I just wanted to make this podcast to talk to you all about understanding you got to do what's right for you. It is not a shortcut. People say, oh, this is a shortcut. Trust me. I have experienced sickness on this medication that make you rethink life. I mean, when I say sickness, when I was on the 5, I think, when I first got the 5 or when I first got the 7.5, I was on 2.5 going to 5, and I was extremely nauseated. I was in Boston. I was in the Boston area working this time last year, and I was so sick, vomiting like crazy. So there are side effects. The constipation is real. You have to make sure you're using the restroom, so a laxative on a regular sometime, or getting something prescribed to keep it higher fiber and stuff like that. So take this as an encouragement that you could do it if you decide. And I wish you all the best. I will be back more during these. So have a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Make sure you're connected with me on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. Facebook is Takresha.blunt. TikTok is Takresha only. So it's just Takresha. And Instagram is Takresha Blunt. And that's it. I am also on Twitter. I will be going back on Twitter again. Twitter is Takresha Blunt also. So just look up my name, Takresha. You'll find it. I do have a business page on Facebook. So if you find the business page, grab that or one of my other pages. But talk to you later. I hope you all have a blessed and beautiful Monday.